again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say that so often, we say it sincerely, it's just good to get together, not only enjoy the friendship and the fellowship of one another, but to offer worship to our Heavenly Father as a congregation of God's people. Well, we have guests and company with us, so sometimes I ask my brethren to look around and be sure that everyone has a bulletin, then please share if they did not receive one. There is an outline of the sermon in the bulletin this morning, again, if you'd like to follow us along. Titled the lesson, The Challenge of Christ. The Challenge of Christ. Peter said, and I put this in your notes at the top, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For hereunto were you called." You and I have a calling, or I put a challenge. And we are called to this challenge. Because, the verse continues, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Someone already mentioned to me this morning between Bible class and worship, and I guess they looked at the outline and they said, "Brian, life by itself is already a challenge, and now you're adding the challenge of Christ." That I don't add to what I already have going on in my life. But I know for some the challenge is not to tackle the task, but how to get out of it completely. But we have a challenge in our lesson this morning, and that's what I want to present to you. And of course, my challenge is to cover this long outline in 20 minutes. And your challenge is to believe that I can do it. But the lesson presents the Christian life as a challenge. And Christ is the standard. He's the one that left the example. This challenge is one that will determine your eternity. It's costly, but in another sense, it costs more to miss this challenge. So here's the challenge that I've listed in your notes. Number one, the challenge that we have is to live as Christ lived. To live as Christ lived. He lived for others, and he lived to do the Father's will. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He lived for others. Jesus said, even so, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The challenge that you and I have is to live for others. To live to do the Father's will, the attitude that Jesus had. He said in John 6, verse 36, or verse 38, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." In the garden, he prays, "Not my will." He was asking for something different than what the Father was presenting to him by the way of crucifixion. But he said, "But not my will, thine be done." Apostle Paul, I put in your notes, meets the challenge with this kind of attitude. He said in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The challenge that you and I have, number one, is to live as Christ lived. Christ lives in us. The way is not always easy, but it's always excellent. Second, the challenge is to grow as Christ grew. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, gives this description of Jesus, especially early life. Jesus increased in wisdom. He had knowledge, mental ability. He increased in stature. He Jesus, he grew physically. And in favor with God, grew spiritually. And man, he grew socially. Physically, mentally, spiritually, socially. And so our challenge is similar. Peter describes it this way in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow. So one way to do that is through our Bible classes that we offer. Someone says, oh, I'd like to know more about the Bible. Well, attend a Bible class. I wish I knew what you knew. Attend the Bible class. We have our worship assembly. We have our work opportunities, our gospel meetings, our vacation Bible school, summer camps. The resources are there. So if you want, that's your resolve, if that's your desire to grow as Christ grew, then you'll need to take advantage of the resources that are already available. Not that we have to make up something new to provide for you. Their provisions are already in place. The challenge is for you to draw on those resources so that you and I can grow as Christ grew. Number three, to think as Christ thought. It's a challenge. Especially in the scripture that was read to us, when God says, you know, this is the way that I'm thinking. In Isaiah 55, in the beginning of verse 80, God says, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways. Then he gives a description. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's pretty high, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But yet Paul lays down the challenge in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, that's important because Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think. Yeah. We're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. Our thoughts. Now the challenge is to think like God does. Jesus did right because he thought right. I know when I was a youngster, it's a few years ago. My thinking is not always right. When I was younger, my dad might say to me, you know, I think the grass needs mowing. And I might be close by, and I know what he's saying. He wants me to think the grass needs mowing too. Or he may say, Brian, he may say to me directly, Brian, I see the grass needs mowing. Well, I could see that same grass. But I might say it, I only say this once. Dad, I see the grass, but I don't see that it needs mowing. Well, the challenge that you and I have is when God gives his directives is to see the same things that God sees and in the same manner. So when God says, I see something as sin, it's my obligation to see it the same way God does. When God says, I see the importance of this activity or this relationship, I need to see it the way God does. That's the challenge. Not for me to say, God, I'm seeing the same thing you are, but I don't see it the same way. Oh, no. Challenge is to think as Christ thought. Number four is to obey as Christ obeyed. In Hebrews 5, beginning of verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. He learned it. Learned obedience by the things which he suffered. But being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. If the Savior had to obey, why shouldn't the saved? If the Master obeyed, why shouldn't the servants? Why, you don't think that there's a different obligation on your part and my part? We need to obey as Christ obeyed. Jesus even said in Luke 6, verse 46, he gives the challenge in his own words, why do you call me Lord? And we do that. Lord. But then Jesus asked the question that hits home. He says, then why don't you do the things that I say? You call me Lord. Jesus even said again, gives the warning, gives the challenge in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. See the obedience. We knew it. We need to obey as Jesus obeyed. Number five, we need to love as Christ loved. Love as Christ loved. It's described in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, among other places. It says, God commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't say, oh, while we were really good people, on the up and up, God commended his love toward us. No, he commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. So Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The good, the bad, the ugly. Love one another as he's loved us, and he commended his love toward us while we were on the outs, while we weren't so lovely, while we were not obedient. He commends his love toward us. And in like manner, we need to commend our love toward one another, even when we're not always doing that which is right, but we need to love, and then that love involves encouraging and restoration. And can I help you? What can I do for you? What do you need? Because I love you. Let me help you. Saw a bumper sticker. It says, honk is in the car in front of me. Honk if you love Jesus. I didn't. But I thought about it. You know, but I'm not sure if everyone around me would has read that bumper sticker. Maybe the person in front of me didn't remember that bumper sticker was on the back of the car, and they might get upset that I'm giving a polite honk. But Jesus didn't say, honk if you love me. He said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not honk if you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you keep his commandments. God didn't look down upon us from heaven on high and honk. Honk, honk. No. I love you. Honk, honk. No. He showed us. He demonstrated it. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And our obligation now is to love as Christ loved. And he laid down his life for us. Says in John 13, verse 34. New commandment I give unto you. It's a commandment to love one another as I have loved you. We want to love as Christ loved. And then it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. People want to be loved, not honked at. Love one another. Love is visible, not just audible. Number six, to forgive as Christ forgave. That's the challenge. To forgive as Christ forgave. Colossians 3, verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. As he did, so should we. To those who come to God God's way, forgiveness certainly is promised and is possible and they murdered the Messiah. They crucified the Christ. And he reaches that point in his sermon, and we're in verse 37. He says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ. They're cut to the heart. They believed his message. We're guilty as charged. So they interrupted the sermon and said, what shall we do? And Peter, with the others, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. He said, because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, and that's us, all those generations, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then, to show the urgency of the message with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation, or untoward generation. Verse 41 says, then those that gladly received his word were baptized. Ah, that's our obligation. Our challenge is to obey as Christ obeyed. Or forgive. Forgive. Jesus, even in a prayer, teaching the disciples to pray. In Matthew 6, verse 14, if you forgive them their trespass, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If conditions. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I want my trespasses forgiven. So the challenge, and say it was not the cakewalk for Christ, it's the challenge of Christ. That's not always easy, but that's the challenge. That's the obligation that's placed in front of us. Forgive as he forgave, and if I can't forgive, then I can't be forgiven. I better be forgiving. We always think forgiveness is lovely until we have to do it, until we're called upon. It's easy to tell other beauty to forgive. You mean I have to forgive? Number 7 is to endure as Christ endured. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1, let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience, endurance. Looking to Jesus, there's the example. And the challenge, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Going to put up with that, Jesus? Yes, I am. I'm going to endure that. Concerning Abraham, it says in Hebrews 6, verse 15, he patiently endured obtaining the promise. Concerning Moses, in Hebrews 11, verse 27, he endured seeing him who is invisible. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, therefore I endure all things. James says in chapter 5, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. That's the challenge, is endurance, to run with patience. And that's what we're trying to do in this lesson, to encourage you and me in all of these challenges that we've listed. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't bail out. Don't forsake Christ. Make that your resolution, your resolve. Let people know on whose side you stand. Let people know to whom you belong. That's the challenge. Endure. Endure. Number 8, to overcome as Christ overcame. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. Well, we attest to that, can't we? In the world you have tribulation. That's right. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's the challenge. I want to overcome what the world presents to me that's designed to take me away from Christ. Whatever the world is beginning to throw at me or put up in front of me or try to draw me away. No, I need to overcome the world. Because, yes, in this world there's troubles and trials and tribulations and obstacles and temptations. And Jesus had to experience the very same thing, but he's always said, be of good cheer. I've overcome these. Now, the challenge is to overcome as Jesus overcame. And he said, you can be of good cheer for that. Don't look at resisting temptation as a drudgery. Oh, I got to give up that. No. Be of good cheer. I can overcome the trouble. I can overcome the obstacle. Overcome the trial. Overcome the wrong kind of thinking. Overcome the laziness. Overcome the whatever it is. That's the challenge. Jesus says, I did that. In Revelation 3, verse 21, it says, to him that overcomes, that was back to us. Jesus said, I overcame. Now the challenge is for us to overcome. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Challenge. The last one, number 9, is to finish our work as Christ finished his. When he was on the cross, one of the 7 words that he spoke was, it's finished. What was finished? Just his life. All right, I've lived my life. My earthly ministry is over. It's finished. He accomplished the Father's will. Remember, he obeyed. Not my will, but thine. I'm going to, as the Hebrew writer said, I'm enduring the cross. I'm going to despise the shame. It's finished. Plans accomplished. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, you know, we need to finish our work. And Paul says, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Meaning he's aged and about to die. Ready to be offered. Departure's close by. But he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. Kept the faith. That's the challenge. Paul recognized the challenge of Christ to endure, to hang in there, to stay, to last, to press on, to overcome. So he, with confidence, he could say, my departure is close by. I've finished the course. With steadfastness and faithfulness. And that's what I want you, we finish the course by keeping the faith and fighting the good fight. That's the challenge in our lesson this morning. For some of you, the challenge is to begin a new life in Christ, to become a Christian. That's the challenge. To obey the gospel message. That's the challenge. You're here this morning, and I'm a member of the New Testament Church. There's a simple plan or formula. First of all, you'll need to hear the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 30, come learn of me. Learn. Then you'll need to believe. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? So once you hear the gospel message, you need to believe it. Jesus in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Keep the belief. Then the plan continues. A third step is to repent. Jesus said it himself in Luke chapter 3. Except you repent, you'll perish. And then number 4, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did with Philip. Preached unto him Jesus. He heard Philip's message. He believed it. So much so he said, I want to turn my life around and obey. He repented. And then Philip said he wanted to be baptized. So he said, if you believe, you may. The Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So he made that confession. Philip said, Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. An invitation for you to become a Christian. That's the challenge if you haven't done so already. To follow that simple plan of obeying that gospel message. you're here tonight, just want brethren to pray with you for you, and you need to